like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Yeah, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush. The latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
What'd you have for lunch today, Angel?
I had 2 strawberry Uncrustables.
Oh, yeah.
A container of diced peaches.
Mm.
And some Gushers.
Gushers.
Very middle school lunch.
I still eat Lunchables, dude.
It's stuff you can't grow out of.
I love Lunchables.
You eat that same stuff every day for like 10 years, and you're suddenly, I'm too old for this.
No, it's still food. The pizza Lunchables?
Yes.
Some would debate whether that's food, but those are delicious. Absolutely love them. All right, let's get to it. We saw a little issue with the pitch clock yesterday for, at least in San Diego, for Manny Machado. He thought he called time as the pitch clock wound down to 8 seconds. The plate umpire thought otherwise, called an automatic strike. 3 to end the first inning. He argued. He said something. Culpa didn't like it. The umpire. And he was ejected. That was a crazy game, though. San Diego's up by 4. The Diamondbacks come back and win 8-6. So you have that on top of it. Machado was adjusting his batting gloves. He called time just before the clock ticked. From 8 to 7 seconds, batters must be facing the pitcher with 8 seconds on the clock under new rules adopted. I'm actually surprised we're not seeing more of these stories, though. So hats off to the batters. They're figuring it out.
Yeah, I mean, you had a whole 2 months to get ready for it.
You don't need
to adjust your gloves that much.
Just Velcro. Get stronger Velcro, man. Tape your wrist if you
tighter
want to.
Gloves or something.
Yeah.
I don't think adjusting them that quick is going to make a huge difference.
It's
in the
baseball,
swing.
But we're getting rid of it. I used to hate that so much. It was my pet peeve in baseball. The Mavs came out. Luka came out. Said, no, we're not going to shut her down for the season as long as the Mavericks have a postseason hope. As long as they're not mathematically eliminated. Luka said, I'm playing tomorrow. When there's still a chance, I'm going to play. So that's not going to happen yet. I guess it could be worse, Nuggets fans. You could be the Mavs. They were a 3 seed at one point this season. They get Kyrie Irving. Pretty much all hell breaks loose after that. And the Mavs took a big swing to try to think that Kyrie and Luka could work together. But it didn't work. National news, but local. Michael Malone calls out his team. He said, if that's how we're going to play, we'll be out in the first round. When we don't do our jobs, there's accountability. And I speak the truth. I just called our team soft, and I dared someone to challenge me. No one did, because we as a group were soft tonight. I'm not saying we're soft, but tonight we were. Soft is a dirty word in sports. When you call your team soft, they can respond one of 2 ways. They can get pissed off, or they can get pissed off and go not be soft anymore.
You can be a bad team and still be aggressive.
Last night, I wanted urgency so bad. I just wanted it so bad.
All you had to do was show up in that third quarter. That's all you had to do.
And the fourth was just, that was just bad basketball. I mean, just awful basketball. Chanchar at one point just stops in the paint, gets surrounded by a double team, puts the ball on the ground. Nobody's moving. He doesn't know where to go with it, so he's got the ball like on the ground, and then they just slap it away from him.
Better ball handlers. I'm just going to watch him do it.
I'm just going to watch him.
They're going that way now.
They're doubling you. Somebody's open. Mathematically, it just makes sense. Somebody's going to be open there. We hit this already, but I'm bringing it back up. Doc Rivers said the MVP race is over, meaning that he thinks it's going to be Joel Embiid. He said Joel should win. He's been in contention for it the last few years. He led the league in scoring last year. It looks like he's going to lead the scoring this year. We're the 3rd seed in the East. He's been consistent all year. I'm not even mad anymore. If Embiid wins it, Giannis wins it, that's fine. The last 2 weeks, whatever. I'm just disappointed because you had it in your grasp. And it's more for the fans. I get it. Joker doesn't care. Malone probably doesn't care because Joker doesn't care. They want to win a championship. So it is what it is. It got away. The MVP that got away is what I'll remember, at least the MVP portion of this season being. Yeah, it's fine. There it is, the Lunch Rush. Got some texts coming in and emails coming in. A lot of people reach out to us in different ways, and I love that.
I did have one story for the Lunch Rush.
Oh, you got something for me.
It came out this morning. Today, according to the Weld County Commissioners Board, is Andrew Alirez Day.
Is it really?
It is.
That's cool.
So April 5th, moving forward,
is
Andrew
from
Alirez
now
Day.
On April, or April, Andrew Alirez Day. Congratulations to him, man.
That's awesome.
He's a great guy. Had him in the show, in the studio last week, and Coach Nickerson as well. Great conversation. He has a key to the city now.
He is Greeley man.
What does a key to the city mean? Can you go anywhere you want at any time?
I think it's like a Harry Potter type of key. It'll change shape to fit any lock that you're going through.
That's exactly what it is.
So, yeah.
I was a test, and you passed it.
But like if you get locked out of your house and you don't get the locksmith, it's, Andrew, I need you in your key.
I need you. You got the city. You got the city key. The key to the city. He's got that, too. That's a cool thing, man. Good for Greeley, because this guy is wrestling for Greeley. He has said it. He says it all the time. He's doing it for Greeley. I'm glad that this was not ignored. And this was something that was pushed heavily by the city of Greeley and Mayor Gates. And Mayor Gates is a great dude. So congratulations. That's cool. The Greyhound texting in. Again, you can email us. I get emails at my Brady@1310kfka.com. We get texts. On our First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. You can message me. I've got messages here on Facebook and Twitter. It was blowing up last night, so let's hit some of them. Greyhound says, Malone is no better than George Karl, and George didn't have a back-to-back MVP. Malone seldom takes any blame and constantly blames the players for losses. I think Malone takes blame. He does put it on himself.
What do you want him to say? Like, he's already called this team soft multiple times.
Yeah, wouldn't we be pissed today if he came out and said, yeah, it's no big deal. Just Houston, we don't care. Wouldn't we be losing our minds
today?
He's
just as upset, if not more upset than us.
Oh,
he's the
coach. He was furious. He's cursing and everything, man. He was furious. Goes on to say, thinking the trade deadline activities is when the players started not listening to Malone. Is there, I mean, again, we know there's something going on with MPJ and Malone.
That's always kind of, they've always had a weird little relationship.
But he's so good that you have to overcome it. Like Bones, Calvin Booth's like, dude, you want him gone? All right, we'll move
Bones
on.
Bones was young. He was kind of immature about it.
But MPJ?
MPJ didn't have a choice to be immature because he was dealing with injuries too.
Yeah, but.
And he was, I just need to be healthy so I can get some minutes.
But MPJ's so good, he could be a jerk or whatever and not like Malone. No. Calvin Booth, Tim Conley, whoever the hell it was, saying, no, you get over it because he's going to be good. Bones, we don't know yet.
How much power does Calvin Booth have here?
A lot. I think so. Like, he has, are you saying that, have pull?
Does Malone have more pull than Booth does when it comes to coaching moves? Can Booth walk into a room with the owners and say, hey, guys, I don't think Malone's the guy. I want to get rid of him.
I believe so. He was working under Tim Conley's tutelage. I think the Cronkies maybe they love Malone, but they have been grooming Calvin Booth to be the next big-time GM, and they don't want to piss him off. They screwed up with Masai Ujiri before Tim Conley. They screwed up with Tim Conley by not giving him more money at the time, and then Tim Conley goes on to be worth more. It's the same situation as what they did with Masai Ujiri. Same exact situation. But Conley wanted to, his heart, he really wanted to go to Minnesota. I get that. But yeah, I think Calvin Booth has a lot.
Yeah, I was imagining what happened with the Broncos and Peyton and their ownership. And did Peyton earn that? Does Booth have that much, even though he's only been it in less than a year, does he have that much weight to pull?
I think that the reason they go to Calvin Booth, they say, we're not going to do an outside hire thing. We think that you have learned enough under Tim Conley in your time here. We want a championship. And the Cronkies aren't blind to it either. They're going to look at this and go, all right, we have an MVP here. We have one of the best players in the league, if not the best. Why aren't we better than this? Why aren't we winning second round contests?
Well, they know what it takes to have successful sports.
They do. I mean, Patrick Waugh, his first year, brought the Avs to the playoffs. And you're thinking, whoa, okay. That didn't last long. The shine wore off pretty quickly. And they, Sakic made the decision to move on from Patrick Waugh to hire Jared Bednar, and we all know how that worked out. So, Yeah, the Kroenkes aren't married to Malone, in my view. Another text here. With the path the Nuggets are on, and to protect you from high blood pressure issues, maybe you need to get with Tanner and take your Denver frustrations out and get the Rockies bus running before their season is over. Have a good show. How's the old Rockies bus doing today, Anjo? The flat tire?
Well,
or?
You need four tires to really move.
Okay.
So it's kind of been stationary for a bit. You kind of overinflated the front two tires early, thinking this will last us a bit, and they were the first ones to go, and we just lost the two back ones yesterday.
Oh, man.
So we got to bring the bus back to Denver and hopefully get it repaired for opening day, make it look shiny.
We only got one donut, you know? You don't have two donuts.
Yeah, I got to make the run to get some more lug nuts. Yeah, we ran out on the road. But we're back. We're going to be in Denver tomorrow. It's going to be beautiful.
Opening day!
Beautiful purple
home
bus over there
anyway.
On Blake Street.
Yeah, it's going to be. We'll have that game on KFKA for you, too. That'll be great. Okay, this one's about Elway from Daryl. Elway should have been a Yankee. Spoiled brat. Threatening to play baseball if not traded. What a jerk.
Was he a baseball player?
He was a hell of a baseball player. He was going to be a Yankee if Baltimore didn't trade him. Would you want to go to Baltimore at that time? They were the Baltimore Colts at that time. Elway was drafted in 83. You know how many games the Colts won the year before they brought Elway in?
Two. Zero.
Zero. You know how many won they before that?
Five.
Two. Hmm. You know how many they won before that? Seven. A little better. But before that was five, and then before that was five. Elway didn't want to go. We always talk about quarterbacks getting in the right situations. Sometimes guys could be great, but maybe they didn't get in the right situation. We talk about that all the time. Elway looked out for his career and said, I don't want to go there. My career's going to die. Baltimore went on, and then when they became the Colts, they were 4-12, 5-11, 3-13. They were bad. It's a bad franchise at that point.
Where were the Broncos at that point?
The Broncos at that point were like kind of a playoff team. In 79, they were a wild card team. In 80, they were 8-8. In 81, they were 10-6, but they missed the playoffs. And then they had a bad year in 82. They were 2-7. But their history before that was decent. 1977, they were in the Super Bowl. So this was a team that was showing some kind of rich history, at least recent rich history. I don't blame that. We saw Eli Manning do the same thing. Is he a jerk? Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers. Eli didn't want to go play for the Chargers. He wanted to play for the Giants.
Eli's kind of a jerk.
Is he a jerk?
I think so.
He comes off as a really nice guy.
I feel like Peyton's the nice brother and Eli's
kind
of the...
See, I would say Peyton comes off as more of the jerk.
I mean, if you get Peyton mad, you'll see his temper flare up. You'll see that forehead just get red. But Peyton seems just like, yeah, I'm chill, fun Peyton guy. And Eli's like, yeah.
I feel like they're both. I don't think either one of them is a jerk. But if there was one that might come off as more of a jerk at some point, it'd be Peyton Manning over Eli.
I think it's Eli.
Well, agree to disagree on that. Do you disagree with Eli looking at a situation going, I think it's going to be better for my life? I'm devoting my life to a franchise here. Back then, it was a lot more likely that you were going to be with the same team for a long time. I don't have issues with a guy wanting to get traded. I mean, does it come off as a little cocky and you're overvaluing yourself? I like it because it says, I love that team, and I'm going to bleed for that team, but don't send me over here. If I'm a Broncos fan, I absolutely love that. That guy wants us bad.
Well, I mean, how many times do we see these young kids get drafted and they think they're the greatest thing ever, and then 2 years later, they're not even on that team anymore?
Yeah.
They're kids. They can be cocky.
Dixon says, I think we're doing a lot of speculation, or we're doing a lot of speculating about things we really don't know and behind the scenes. Speak for yourself, bro.
In relation to who?
Personally, I think this team isn't really as good as we think they are and want them to be. They got quite a few wins this year against some teams that didn't have their studs going. So what are you talking about? Speculating behind the scenes about Calvin Booth? I know Calvin Booth. I know the Nuggets organization. I know a lot of the insiders there. So if you're telling me that what I'm saying is wrong about Calvin Booth, then you're wrong. Because absolutely he has more power than Michael Malone. No question about it. And I know that. But or what else are you thinking I'm speculating on here? I mean, I do speculate quite a bit.
I mean, we speculate off of the information that we're given. When we were told that there were some issues with Bones and Malone.
Mm-hmm.
We started, okay, well, what could that have been? We started speculating, what was it? And then, you know, he had the whole finger thing, and he wasn't on the bench. And then it came out after he was traded that he wasn't even on the plane to Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And so we start putting the pieces there and say, oh, ooh, now that makes sense.
But you remember, I was supposed to have Calvin Booth on the show on a Monday. Like, it was confirmed in the books. And I told you, Angel, they just canceled on me. And what I was told, they're waiting to see what happens with Bones Highland. I knew, bro. I don't just come out here and watch the games in my onesie and then come out here with a take from the games. I do my research. I got my people, my little birdies. I got people that give me some insight. Now, no one's telling me straight up, point blank, that Bones Highland's being traded. But I can read in between the lines. I do that all the time. That's why I never can get the books read. So I'm just reading in between the lines. Texter, they don't have any dogs to account for Joker playing bad. They need to play with more passion and an edge, but they just don't. Although they have a good record, they aren't good enough to have even a little bit of an off night in the playoffs. Anybody in the playoffs could beat them. Perhaps, but I think they could beat anybody in the playoffs. That's where this team is. That's where it's a scary predicament. I'm not going to disagree with you there. It's terrifying.
I think the idea that this team doesn't have a dog has some credit, and I think that's due to the relationship between Malone and Jokic. Malone respects Jokic so much and will almost let him do anything. So if Jokic goes out there and plays like whatever, he doesn't really care for the game that night, the team will follow it, as we saw last night. But when Jokic is on and he's, you know, hey, we're going to go, and he's in timeouts with the clipboard drawing up plays and stuff, they follow that and they see that. And so, like, Jokic doesn't need to be that, oh, I'm in your face, getting technical foul stuff, to be a dog. He just has to show up and be the guy.
All right, so I'm going to ask you this question. It's very hypothetical. Let's say the Nuggets get blasted in the second round. They're out. What would you do? What's the issue? Are you staying the course? Are you pushing for a star? Are you moving on from Malone?
I'm moving on from Malone.
You're firing Malone.
I'm getting an offensive coach.
Oh, boy.
Because Malone was supposed to be a defensive coach, and his defense has not been good. You go get an offensive coach that can work with Jokic and build the offense around him. And I would try to find a trade for Jamal Murray or Michael Porter.
And go get a guy that rhymes with Schmuka?
Sure. Or Smillard.
Mm. Damian Lillard or Luka Doncic? Who's more of a team player? Is Damian more of a team player?
Oh, in terms of loyalty,
yeah,
yes.
But more of, like, distribution.
Yeah, I mean, him and CJ McCollum were pretty good together.
They were damn good. Damian works, I mean, they're bad now, but there were moments where he worked pretty well with Yusuf Nurkic.
I mean, we see how well Murray and Jokic play together. Lillard's a better Murray, way better Murray.
So you're like kind of fire sale mode, somewhat.
Yeah, I mean, I like the depth they have. I'm getting more and more with Peyton Watson. No, he's young. I don't want to jump over with that.
But there's something there.
He's got it. He's got that energy. He's got that skill. I think Christian Brown will, once you figure out what his role is, he'll grow into that.
What kind of player is he? We don't really know just yet.
Jeff Green's kind of just a guy.
He's unk.
Najee, I like him, but he's not healthy enough to get me consistent, you know, film to watch.
Yeah. I mean, he's hurt all the time. I do think he could be a player, but I don't. Christian Brown, I think, could be a player. I'm just trying to figure out what kind of player. Like, what's his specialty? What's his thing? Effort.
I think defense.
Yeah, he's got effort, but he don't really become a really good player based on just
effort. Maybe he hasn't. Maybe it's him, like, I'm not at the point where I need to be the guy with the ball in my hand taking the shot.
Because
I think he has a decent shot, but he hasn't. I don't think he's given himself time to work on that in his rookie year. Because he's doing so much other stuff, just trying to learn the game.
It is amazing.
Level. So this summer, he'll be in the gym shooting 300 shots a day.
Yeah, it is amazing, the rookie year thing. I mean, we just like to write it off because we see some rookies that are really good at first, but not. It's a very rare thing. It's a very rare thing to see. You know, everybody's going crazy about my guy David Roddy's dunk, and it was amazing. But Roddy's gone through his ups and downs this season. I mean, no question about it. Do they have the dogs? I mean, that's where if things go really south here, which I'm still pretty optimistic that they won't. I'm concerned though. But if they go south, you're talking about the coach. You're talking about who could be a dog. I mean, is it like a Draymond Green and a Damian Lillard? Could you go out and get all those guys? I don't know. What's Draymond Green's contract situation? Is he going to be a free agent soon? I feel like his contract is running out. But I would like to see a guy kind of like that. You know, a guy I kind of want. I think Jamal Murray has the attitude, but I don't know that he's good enough to pair himself with that attitude. You know,
he'll be an unrestricted free agent.
So you go sign him, and then you trade for Luka. Now you got dogs in the fight. That's probably what you do. You do something crazy. You hit a home run. Calvin Booth's been tweaking, putting little pieces together here and there, KCPs of the world. And I think that they'll work. But if they don't, you got a selling point here to Luka and Draymond. You got a selling point. Come play with this MVP that's going to distribute the ball to you.
And I know we're all on this. You know, if they don't get past this series, then you fire. And if they do, then you maybe wait. I think the context of the series matters. If you go in the first round and win in five games, and the second round game goes to seven games, and you lose on a buzzer beater, what do you do?
To Phoenix.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good point, because Phoenix, I think.
But if you did all that,
are they the favorite in the West right now?
I'd say so, yes.
Okay. So you lose to the favorite. Last year, you got blasted in the first round, but they went on to win a title. But at some point, you have to have those deeper conversations of, okay, you lost in seven to Phoenix, but you still lost, and you still lost the second round. Is Malone the guy? Because you're going to, if they lose in the second round in any capacity, seven, whatever, you're still going to point back to that last week or so of how Malone handled his business and how the Nuggets handled their business.
We had the same conversation about Bednar last year.
We did.
If the Avs didn't get past the second round,
yep,
Bednar was on the hot seat.
He rose to the occasion. He made some pretty difficult decisions, and they worked out. Can it work out for Malone? 27 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Tanner Schwint this spring for Preps Baseball on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hole, on the whole show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
All right, I got to be brief here. We got Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, coming up next. But let me ask you a question. Are your shows buffering, your games lagging, your calls dropping? Here's the FYI. For your old school internet company, can't keep up. Their network isn't enough. It's time to fiber your internet with Allo. Visit allofiber.com/FYI. 12:32 the time. We got the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes coming up. Mark Johnson, they got an interesting player in the transfer portal. We'll talk about that coming up next. Don't go anywhere. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back. That's heavy, Angel. You're taking out your aggression today after watching the Nuggets and the Rockies last night. Maybe we need some feel good because we got some interesting stories going on. The Avs, of course, they win in overtime. They clinched the playoffs. And here's an interesting name. Eddie Lampkin Jr. is transferring to the University of Colorado. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us. Mark, talk to us about Eddie, man. We know his kind of interesting story with TCU toward the end. Didn't go to the conference tournament, all that. But how are we feeling about Eddie Lampkin Jr.?
Well, let me say this. The player who I will not name that you're talking about has not officially signed with the University of Colorado, and so I can't talk about that, but I can tell you that when I watched TCU this season, what struck me about Eddie Lampkin Jr. was a big body, 6'11", about 265 pounds, pretty skilled guy, did deal with some off the court, family issues, lost a brother, tragically, and had some injuries, but pretty big body. Very physical guy as he played for TCU, would look good in a number of different uniforms. And, you know, if there was a team out there that was looking for a big body inside, I think he'd be a nice addition. So yeah. I wish him luck this season with TCU. If he ends up someplace else, that'll be interesting to see.
Well, it sure will be, Mark. And again, if that does happen, which we don't know anything right now, it would appear that maybe the Buffs could quickly replace that center position. But again, we don't know. Who knows what's going to happen? The world is full of mysteries.
Right. We're just all waiting to see. And, you know, Since I worked for the University of Colorado, there are sometimes that when there are reports out there that somebody may be transferring in, until that person is actually enrolled at the University of Colorado, I'm not allowed to say anything about it. So I will tell you this, though. I was very impressed with TCU center Eddie Lampkin this past season, the two or three times I saw him play.
Mark, just blink twice if he's coming to see you, okay? That's all I'm going to say.
There you go. I don't know if you saw that or not, but I just did something.
I heard something. I heard it. I could hear the blinks, man. I got great ears. Okay, let's put him away for now, but also kind of dreaming at the same point. I feel like CU, man, I mean, I know it wasn't the season that they wanted ultimately, but next year, you talk about a hot transfer coming in and Cody Williams, and then a player to be named later. Man, Mark, this could be the year. I don't know what that means necessarily, but this could be a really good year coming up for the Buffs.
Well, I don't know if you saw it, but just yesterday, ESPN put out there way too early. Top 25, UConn was number one, the national champion after they won that on Monday night. The number 13 team in the country was the University of Colorado. They looked at the potential starting five coming back, Cody Williams, the top five recruit in the country. I mean, that's safe to say some people have them number one or number three, but it's certainly top five in the country. You're going to have KJ Simpson back. So there's probably your backcourt right there up front. A big body inside that you can speculate about. You got Tristan Da Silva coming back, and then maybe Luke O'Brien or somebody like that on the other wing. And so that's a pretty impressive looking five man lineup right there. Then when you add to that, you've got Courtney Anderson coming in, the outstanding young recruit out of Northern California. You got Ahsan Jopp, who's a 6'9" guy out of the Denver metro area. He's coming in from a private school, and then don't forget. Some of the guys will be, Julian Hammond certainly is going to be back. R.J. Smith is going to be back. A guy that we didn't see this year because he was coming back from injury but had a redshirt season is a great shooter. So when you start adding all of that up, it looks like a very impressive lineup and should be competing for a Pac-12 championship and should be well into the NCAA tournament field by the time, we're getting around to the end of March next season.
Yeah, no, I think just, again, looking at it on paper, it looks really good. And another year with these guys, with those stars, with Tristan and KJ, another year with those guys is just only going to help. So I think that's got to be, you got to be pretty pumped up. I know, bummed out. Folks were bummed out about the Lawson Lovering situation, which still seems bizarre to me.
Yep.
But,
yep.
Yeah, it might be okay.
I've done a little bit digging on that, and it still doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I've talked to some folks, and I've talked to some folks who talked to other folks. I mean, it's still a bizarre situation. I can't quite get my head around it. And sometimes, young people make silly decisions, and I'm getting the sense that maybe that's what it's all about. I mean, and I've never heard any explanation, and I've had conversations with people on the inside of this thing. I've never gotten a full explanation as to what exactly was going on, which makes you speculate a little bit on some potential things. But, yeah, that's certainly disappointing. But when you look at this, Cody Williams, I don't know if you got a chance to watch that McDonald's All-American game the other day. He's an awfully impressive, highly skilled basketball player. At 6'8", weighs about 205 pounds, incredibly long, highly skilled. I mean, so he's out there with, the other top recruits in America and looked the part as much as anybody out there. I mean, he's a future, I think, NBA star. And so I'm really excited about him coming in with the talent that we've already gone through that really could be an exciting season for Colorado basketball next season.
Well, I know you talked a little bit about Cody last week, too. And in this day and age, for Tad to just keep going and getting guys coming in here with battling transfer portal stuff, all of it. You had brought it up. You're like, Cody's family and Cody, they didn't bring any of that stuff up, man. He just wants to play basketball for a good coach.
Yeah, exactly right. That was the thing that is awful impressive. When Tad was recruiting him, the NIL stuff didn't come up. Cody Williams knows what he's all about, knows where his value is, knows that he's going to end up in the NBA, just like his brother is, who's turned out to be a fantastic player for Oklahoma City in the NBA. And so, yeah, when you get a guy like that, and that's kind of what we talk about, though, with Tad Boyle players, right? I mean, he's always recruited those kind of guys, just great human beings, the Evan Baddies of the world, the Josh Scotts of the world, Spencer Dinwiddies of the world. I mean, what he's got there right now with Tristan Da Silva and KJ Simpson, just good human beings who happen to be very good basketball players as well, and that's why you got to love this program.
Yeah, I'm excited. I really am. With a lot of, you know, surrounding teams, I don't know what the future looks like for those guys, the immediate future at least, when we're talking, you know, Rams, Cowboys, Bears even. But with the Buffs, I mean, I know, again, one name leaves, but it does feel like they're set up to be a very good basketball team next season. Mark, we're getting numbers now. Guys are starting to get numbers. I know after based off our last conversation, you're a big numbers guy, and Coach... Coach Prime Time is making them earn the numbers.
So I was able to identify one player on the field today. Yeah. Jimmy had number five.
Okay.
And so I was able to identify him. He was the only one, though, I knew on the field the entire day of practice today. But, yeah, they're starting to trickle in. By the way, I did an interview today. It'll be coming out, I think, tomorrow with Dylan Edwards, who is one of the top running backs in America. He was on his way to play for Notre Dame. He's out of Derby, Kansas, which is in the Wichita area. And Prime flips him to come to Colorado. He might be one of the fastest human beings on the face of the earth, by the way. And so he and I were doing an interview today. I challenged him to a foot race, and so we'll see if we can get that done at some point in time. And I wouldn't put any money on me, by the way, when he and I race. But anyway, what an impressive young man he is, and I think he's going to be a superstar for Colorado.
Well, Mark, you're going to have to wear some running shoes, man. I know it's going to be tough to get you out of the boots, but you're going to have to put on some sneakers if you want a chance.
No, I think I'll stick with the boots. It's like, Dan Hawkins called me. After practice one day, Dan Hawkins calls my name out. I'm standing out, you know, talking to one of the beat guys, and I hear my name, like, what? And he goes, get on out of here. And I'm like, for what? And he goes, come on out. You got to kick a field goal to see if the team is going to run. I'm walking out there. First off, I was not wearing the square toes that day. And never having been a place kicker, I said, fellas, I just looked at the team and said, my apologies, you're going to run, okay? And I went out there and kicked the field goal, and I think – off the pointed toe of the boot, I think went shanking off, somewhere in the Longmont, and the guys at the front. So I figure exactly the same outcome will be when I read Jimmy Horn Jr., or rather Dylan Edwards. I mean, you know, both he and Jimmy Horn Jr., by the way, both run something like a 4.38 40.
Wow.
I mean, think about that. I mean, that is blazing. That's NFL top-level combine kind of stuff right there. That's how fast those guys are.
Yeah, the names keep pouring in, the accolades, what these guys can do. It's all just building up. And did we officially get a sellout for that spring game, Mark, coming up here at the end of the month?
Yeah, officially. And they sold it out at 45,000 because they've got some construction stuff they're doing. And so some of the seats are going to be unavailable. So instead of having 50,182 or whatever the exact number is, they had to cap it at 45. So it's officially a sellout on April 22nd.
Well, how about that? That's going to be something else. Mark, while we have you, what are you hearing? Are you hearing anything about San Diego State, Pac-12 future? Are you getting any conversations going about that?
Well, yeah. I'm hearing that there is a forthcoming invitation to have them come to the Pac-12. And so that's something to keep an eye on. But listen, there's a lot of rumbling coming out of the Big 12 right now as well. And so this thing is so volatile at this point. And then, of course, just recently, you've seen some of the national guys reporting on the potential media deal with the Pac-12. And, boy, they have not painted that thing in a very positive light. And so I'm fascinated just sitting back and kind of watching this deal unfold right now because the rumor mill is on fire. But, yes, you're hearing about San Diego State getting an invite from the Pac-12. I saw one of the national guys had them as a potential suitor for the Big 12 as well, along with some Big 12 or Pac-12 schools. So, yeah, who knows where this is all going to end up, but it's turning pretty heavily right now internally.
No, I'm just so curious because it all is going to, you know, the TV deals that we're talking about right now. And I know the Pac-12's in conversation with Apple TV. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I guess it all kind of depends. That's where I'm looking at some of these teams. It's like, do you just stand pat wherever you are right now? Because we're going to have a lot of changes still depending on how these TV contracts go down.
Yeah, yeah. There's no doubt about that. You know, and many people, by the way, are looking at, well, since San Diego State went to the Final Four in the national championship game, that makes them more attractive. That doesn't necessarily mean that, by the way. Don't get caught up in the emotion of the moment. People and the television execs will still be analyzing the value overall from a viewership standpoint. And just because you did something once, you know, I once hit an 80-foot putt, okay? That doesn't mean I'm going to play this weekend at Augusta National just because they hit an 80-foot putt one time, okay? And so just kind of keep that in mind. Just because they went to the title game doesn't automatically put them in the category that, you know, every – doesn't mean they're not, but doesn't mean they are in that category where every television network wants them as part of the deal. So just, you know, kind of keep that in mind as well moving forward.
Mark, do you get out and golf a lot?
Very rarely. Okay. I used to golf quite a bit, and I actually got where I was taxable, let's put it that way. And then I started fly fishing, and I thought to myself, you know what? I can accept the fact that a trout with a pea brain outsmarts me more than I can accept the fact that an inanimate object outsmarts me. So I'd rather standing in a canyon in a river, you know, up with a pooter or something, fly fishing, getting outsmarted by a trout, than I had the frustration of cussing at a little round ball all afternoon long. So I don't golf nearly as much as I used to. I much more would rather be fly fishing at this point.
Well, and the beauty of that, you don't got a lot of people watching you either. That's my biggest concern with golf, is you got like four or five people right behind you waiting for you to get done, and that's really tough for me.
You know what the key is, number one. When I do golf, because I get asked to play in four or five events a year, they want me to come out and, you know, golf with somebody's foursome. So I go out there. I just don't care anymore. I've got no ego about it. So, yeah, that makes it easy. If I shank one, no big deal. So does everybody else. Secondly, by the way, it is kind of similarly humiliating when you're standing out there and the fish and the animals around you in the canyon are. But that does happen.
You got to pick your hobbies, my friend. Mark, appreciate you as always. Great stuff talking about. I am excited about Tad Boyle's team next year. We'll see what happens. Yep. But we'll look to catch up with you next week.
I look forward to it. See you.
All right, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. Did you get that patent done yet, too, Angel, on my curtain idea for the golfing we talked about with the little curtain that unfolds and it covers you up so nobody can see you tee off?
Yeah, I couldn't find the right curtain for the prototype.
Oh, crap.
Our investor pitch is going to have to be delayed.
Okay. Well, we'll get there, though.
It's I have the PVC pipes. I just don't have a curtain.
It's something you can fit in your golf bag.
Right.
And you pop it out, unfold it, or just like a scroll, unwind it.
We're waiting for the patent for that specific technology.
Oh, too. It's going to be phenomenal.
It's a process.
For you know, shy golfers, for the shy golfer that's just trying to figure it out and find some confidence, keep everybody from watching you. Put your curtain up.
You can even take it out in the range, too.
Yes. Yeah. You could do so much. We'll make it so you can form it a little bit, too, so it could circle around you, so your sides are protected as well.
Oh, well, it keeps your range narrow.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot. Shank it if nope. You can only hit it straight.
Correct. And nobody will see it when you do. That's the beauty of it. 12:50 the time. Let's wrap up this hour. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we'll talk more Nuggets. Kyle Fredrickson will join us to talk about the Avs. And the Avs were in a similar spot as the Nuggets last year with Jared Bednar. Can Michael Malone and company rise to that occasion like we saw with Bednar? We'll talk to Kyle about it in the 1 o'clock hour. It's the whole show. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Tanner Schwint this spring for Preps Baseball on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Come at me, or don't come at me.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Shout out to Kane, Doolin, McQuinn, Young Law Firm. We know we live on these dangerous, crazy roads in Weld County and throughout Northern Colorado. If you or a loved one have been injured or has been injured in a car accident from a negligent driver, there's only one law firm to contact, and that is Kane, Doolin, McQuinn, and Young Law Firm at TrialProven.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Here's an interesting story, kind of cool. The football state championship games are coming to, will move to Canvas Stadium in 2023. You know, this article came out. Chris Abshire, our friend there at the Coloradoan, put it together at the Coloradoan.com. Colorado High School Football State Championship games for Class 4A, 5A will now be played at Canvas Stadium on CSU's campus in Fort Collins for the next five seasons. Chassa had a press called a press conference at the stadium on Thursday, April 6th, set for 11 a.m. So we'll see if we can get some information there, but they've not officially announced the news. However, sources close to the process have confirmed the move, according to the Coloradoan. They've always had their games at Denver's Empower Field at Mile High for 18 years, man, excluding the COVID year. But they're going to be at the college venue at Canvas. This is huge for Colorado State. I mean, it's just good marketing. It's good for the stadium. Start paying that stadium off and all that. But this is absolutely great for maybe some in-state recruiting. Not to say that, you know, Colorado is the biggest focus in the world for CSU, but you get stud athletes that are obviously the best of the best going there, playing in that stadium. Yeah, you kind of get a feel that maybe that's where you would want to play every Saturday. Again, there's only a handful of guys that I think CSU is really targeting throughout the state, but the guys that they would target are likely playing in that game. For the full story, go to coloradoan.com under the sports headlines there, and you'll find it. Our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day, who's to blame for the Nuggets' recent struggles? The bench, Michael Malone, the starter surrounding Nikola Jokic, or Calvin Booth in this kind of around the trade deadline? I'm a big fan of Calvin Booth. I've loved a lot of his moves, but I think it's fair to say at this stage, the moves around the trade deadline have not panned out. Those moves were supposed to be the ones to put you over the top. And, you know, again, you saw the Suns get aggressive. You saw the Mavericks get aggressive. The Nuggets didn't get aggressive. They went and got a backup type center and a backup type guard. Those were the moves that they made. So, would you have liked to see Calvin Booth get a little more aggressive? Now you go back and you look and you go, oh, you got draft picks out of the Bones Highland deal. Would you have liked to see some kind of a better player for this team to be able to help with the bench? And you can't blame the guy for trying. We, at the time, said the moves made sense. So, you know, I'm not going to go back on that. Thomas Bryant, Reggie Jackson, I thought those guys could work out. But they just haven't. Is that where you're putting the blame? Is that something that has been affecting this team and the bench unit? 12:57 the time. More on the Denver Nuggets coming up next. Also, Kyle Fredrickson from the Gazette. We'll talk to him in the 1 o'clock hour as well. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, and we'll be right back.